Now's the time for our Inside the Tiger Den, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. And we have on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, Mike and Herb, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
We're doing good, Jeff.
Jeff, I'll throw this out. Herb and I talked a little bit about it. It's a big opportunity for Shelton Sampson because of the receivers that are down in this game. And he had an opportunity a little earlier in the season. It did not work out for him. He was not the playmaker that I think Brian Kelly thought he potentially could be. But, man, he's got talent. Herb and I talked about this. Jeff, do you agree? This is a confidence issue with Shelton. He has got to be able to be involved in this game early on, throw him a couple short passes, build up a little confidence in him as a player. We saw this in the evolution, so to speak, of Aaron Anderson.
Yep.
Well, he wasn't the playmaker for him last year. They got him a couple early throws this year, and all of a sudden now, Aaron Anderson's a huge part of this attack for LSU. Tonight, I think a lot of eyes will be is, can they get Shelton Sampson involved in this offense?
And I just wonder how much he's really going to play here, though, tonight. I mean, when Brian Kelly was asked on Thursday night about, okay, hey, if C.J. Daniels and Chris Hilton can't play, who's going to have to step up? And the two guys that he actually mentioned beforehand was Tre'Dez Green and Kamorian Pinson. You know, Tre'Dez Green seems to be a little bit more in the flow of things. And so I don't know. I don't know how much we're going to see of Shelton Sampson, but I agree with you guys. I mean, he just doesn't seem like a very confident player. And I saw this kid at Catholic High for three seasons in Baton Rouge, and this kid was making plays when he was healthy. And he had a couple of injuries here or there, a finger injury and so forth. But when the guy was healthy, he would have a huge game. He had a big game against Brother Martin in a playoff game at Ted Gormley Stadium. So I know it's in there. I mean, the guy's a four-star prospect, close to a five-star prospect. The talent is there. The size is there. The speed is there. The ability to go out and get 50-50 balls. He certainly could do it. He just needs to get a couple of catches, get a little confidence, and he'll be okay. I don't know. We'll see where how much he'll see here tonight. I think the four main guys tonight, obviously, are going to be Kyron Lacy. I think Xavier Thomas is going to see some more, Aaron Anderson and Mason Taylor. And then there may be chances if C.J. Daniels and Hilton don't play tonight. There might be a chance there for Sampson. But I think those other guys that I just mentioned, Taylor, Anderson, along with Kyron Lacy and Xavier Thomas, I think those are the four main guys tonight that are going to be catching passes for LSU.
One of the things, Jeff, we talk about guys that step up their game. How about number 40? Man, Whit Weeks. Almost like, okay, I know you got a brother on the team. I don't know if you'll be playing that. I don't think so. But it's almost like they got twins. I mean, he's here. He's there. He's up the field. He's in coverage. He runs the field east and west. Okay, he's got something I can't teach. He got instincts. He got football sports instincts to know where to put himself in a position to make a play. And I think back, this was kind of a Blake Baker guy, okay? I think Blake saw that this guy can handle a lot of different things put on his plate, not just about a guy to stop the run, but as a blitzer, as a guy in the coverage part of the game, a lot of different things. Man, has he really played well this season for LSU?
I think he's been fantastic. I think it was a couple games ago. I don't know if it was after the South Alabama game. Probably. Maybe. I think it might have been the South Alabama game where I just said, you know what? I think Whit Weeks is a better linebacker than Harold Perkins. I know Harold Perkins is the guy that's going to go out there and he could get an interception for you. He could get a strip sack and stuff like that. But Whit Weeks is all over the field. You just recognize him so much more. And we LSU fans were clamoring for him to play more last year. You brought in Omar Spates a season ago. And I don't know. I don't know if promises were made or whatever it might have been. Once Omar Spates got healthy, they decided to put Whit Weeks on the bench. But he always seemed like to be one of the better linebackers on the team. So this is going to be a big game here for him tonight. I mean, you got a guy in Jackson Dart that you might have to tackle in space. Ole Miss can run the ball a little bit. They obviously got a good group of wide receivers. So looking forward to seeing a big game for him. And I really do think the injury to Harold Perkins, while unfortunate, I think you'd rather have Harold Perkins than not have him, it does open up the door for Whit Weeks to be a bigger part of this defense, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Jeff, looking back at, I was talking about this a little bit earlier with Leanne, and I want to know, on the flip side, how can LSU's defense stop this Ole Miss offense? Because we all know what Lane Kiffin is. We all know what Ole Miss is all about. And for us, the one thing that we always talk about is how, a little bit shaky our defense may be at times. So how can LSU get pumped up tonight to go against a really great offense in Ole Miss after LSU's coming off a bye week, which we think that, you would think you would get better schematically as well as when it comes to injuries and get a little bit more healthy? How can LSU stop this Ole Miss offense?
I think winning first down is key tonight. I mean, I wrote about it in my preview piece at WWL.com. A lot of people have been talking about how, hey, LSU needs to win the battle of time possession. They need the offense to grind out drives. I don't know, guys. I think, if you throw a ball to Caden Durham and he goes 60 yards for a touchdown, you really can't grind out the drive. But the way that you're able to take Ole Miss out of its rhythm offensively is to give up only 2 yards on first down or stop them for negative 1 yard. When Ole Miss becomes dangerous and they're able to run the up-tempo offense is when you're giving up 7, 8, 12 yards on first down. That's when it becomes a big problem. So you got to win first down. And then, of course, when you do get them in that third down situation, you got to get off the field.
Yep.
I think we're going to see a lot of points here tonight. So LSU's just going to need a few defensive changing plays. A couple turnovers will be good. I don't think it's going to be pretty the entire game for LSU defensively. There's going to be big plays that Ole Miss makes. I think there's going to be nice drives that Ole Miss puts together. But in the end, can LSU get a couple stops here or there? Can they frustrate Ole Miss just enough, slow them down a little bit on first down, and see if that isn't enough, and hopefully LSU's offense could do the rest of the work?
Jeff, one of the things in watching Ole Miss this year, and it goes to show you, it depends on the talent that you had. I think the last 2 years, you were blessed with a real special running back in Quinshon Judkins. I mean, he kind of tilted the field a little bit when he hit there. Now, there was a lot of kind of swirl in the tornado around him, or things happening around him, especially late last year with him. They have not run the football as effectively. And I was talking to Deuce about it, and he was like, Mike, I don't think they're playing their best running back. I think Bentley's the guy. But he said, they got some issues there, sort of away from the game, that he's not the guy. But I think now, because of injuries, it's got to be Bentley sort of carry the workload here for him for running the football. And for as much as we've talked about Lane throwing the football around, it's his ability to run the ball, because they've run it more than any other team in the SEC the last 2 years.
Yep.
A lot of that has to do with Judkins now. I will say that, because if I had him at running back, he'd be running it too.
Yeah.
But they're not as good running the ball because of the halfback position. I'm interested to watch Ulysses Bentley tonight, because I think he'll get that opportunity to be maybe the workload guy for him as a halfback.
Well, yeah, Matt Jones, I don't think the last injury report I saw, he was doubtful, so there's probably a good chance that he doesn't play. He's the second leading rusher for Ole Miss. So, yeah, I think you might see a little bit more. I'm just really interested to see how good this Ole Miss team is. I mean, I look at the competition that they played, not very good at all. Furman, Middle Tennessee, even Wake Forest was a bad Power 4 school, or not a very good Power 4 school. They go up against Kentucky. Kentucky slows them down on first down. They lose that game. They did take care of South Carolina, and we saw South Carolina give Alabama a scare. So I give them some credit for that. But I tell you what, I'm really eager. I mean, there's just been all this there's been all this talk about, you know, Ole Miss is loaded. They got all these guys out of the transfer portal. This is the year for Lane Kiffin. But I'm eager to see now them in this environment here at LSU with 100,000 fans, the Tigers coming off a bye week, you know, just how good this Ole Miss team is. I think that's I'm just fascinated to see how that will play itself out. But, yeah, there's no doubt what Lane Kiffin wants to do. He would like to run the ball, but, you know, Jackson Dart is still what makes that offense go. You're talking about a guy that's averaging 350 yards passing a game. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But they certainly want to mix in the running game in there as well.
One of the things I talked to a friend of mine who scouts the SEC, and he was telling me, when I told him, there's no question Ole Miss is better up front mm-hmm. in that front four. And you could actually say front seven. What I don't know about is how good they are in the coverage part of the game.
Yeah.
That to me is still kind of a Marvel mystery tour for Ole Miss. How well they are in the coverage part when they're going up against an upgrade at the receiving core than what you played against, say, a South Carolina or a Kentucky. Mm-hmm. When you play in LSU, I think that's a big test for the Ole Miss secondary tonight going up against Nussmeier. And despite the fact LSU is kind of short-sheeted at receiver because of injuries, that you're playing a different quality of receiver also. That'll be a big test for Ole Miss's cornerback group in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think, to me, if Ole Miss's defense and that secondary seems to be the weak spot, if they come out here and play tonight, play really strong, then LSU's not going to win this game. But I still have questions on truly how good they are. It seems like they're pretty good on paper. You get a cornerback from Alabama. You know, you're thinking, okay, Trey Amos, who's a kid from New Iberia. Let's see, you know, just how good he is in this type of environment. Even the teams, I just kind of went over their schedule. I mean, South Carolina is challenged offensively. Kentucky's challenged offensively. Wake Forest is not very good. You know, Furman, all those teams. Middle Tennessee, none of them are very good. They haven't come close to facing an offense as good as LSU. And so if Garrett Nussmeier takes care of the football and if they can give him protection, I mean, you're talking about an Ole Miss defense that leads the country with 24 sacks this year. If that offensive line can step up and give Garrett Nussmeier the time he needs, he's going to make the throws. I know he had a couple interceptions against South Alabama. I think a lot of that was just they jumped on South Alabama so much. Maybe the focus was a little bit off there for Garrett Nussmeier. But when he's needed to be on point, he has been on point. I think the South Carolina game is a perfect description of that. They needed him to be at his best when they got down 17-0. And he played very, very well other than the one interception he threw that almost went for a pick six. He played very, very well. He made some NFL throws in that game. He's going to need to do that here tonight.
Jeff, you know, going back to the defensive side for LSU, what's a couple of key players should we be looking at to try to stop Jackson Dart? Because the thing that I'm thinking about is, you know, you said we need to stop him on first down, of course. But then you also said we need to figure out how to get off the field. And one of the most important things is not allowing Jackson Dart to run the football on third and long, third and short, when all the receivers are covered, right? Who do you think we should have and keep an eye on as far as LSU's defense tonight to maybe have that task to keep Jackson Dart in check?
I think Braden Swinton is going to be big tonight. Savion Jones is going to be big tonight. I think those edge rushers need to come out and play. They got to certainly get in the backfield. Can Ahmad Bro just hang in there tough? Maybe another week here with Dominic McKinley. Maybe he grows up a little bit more. I mean, a big part of that is going to be the defensive line here. A lot of talk about JV and Tobiano now playing the star position. How much do we see of that here tonight? And then really the big question mark for LSU defensively in this game, in my mind, is who is going to play safety? We really have no idea who's going to be playing safety. We know they've rotated a bunch of guys. We've asked Brian Kelly, who seems to have emerged there, really hasn't given us any answers on that. I'm thinking it's going to be a combination of Sage Ryan, Major Burns, Deshaun Spears. I think those are the three main guys that you'll probably see back there as far as safety goes. So I mean, that and those guys, for those guys there, the safeties in particular, you know, tackling space is going to be key here tonight because we know Lane Kiffin is going to want to try to get his playmakers in space. Those guys are going to have to make plays. We've seen only just a little bit of Zy Alexander. I mean, how quickly could he get into midseason form here tonight? Even though Ole Miss might not have Trey Harris, they still got a good group of wide receivers, so he'll need to play very well here tonight. So I know I kind of mentioned the entire defense needs to play well, but I think it kind of starts with Braden Swinson and Savion Jones. I think if those two guys are a menace off the edge, it might slow down this Ole Miss offense pretty good.
Jeff, last question for you. You talked about the secondary. LSU got a commitment a couple hours ago from, and I know a guy you've seen play, Jacob Bradford, who's played corner, but I think a lot of projections are that he'll play safety in college football. Just a little quick synopsis on, LSU landing Jacob Bradford, who was I think he was University of Houston commit at one time, decommitted, and now late this morning announced his commitment to LSU.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good kid for LSU. He certainly looks the part. He's got a younger brother who might be even better than him, and I'm sure that's kind of figuring into all this. But, LSU's struggling in the defensive secondary, right? They've struggled the last couple of years. This is where you're hoping that that we're starting to see the quality of defensive backs return to the state of Louisiana. You got a guy in your home city. You need him to come to LSU. And so I think it's a good get, a nice pickup for LSU. And, you know, they keep saying the Calvary is kind of on the way when it comes to improving this LSU defensive secondary. They spent a lot of time trying to recruit that position heavily, and they do got some good players coming on campus here soon.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. Enjoy watching the game tonight and hopefully a W for the Tigers.
Yes.
That'll be great. It'll be great, guys. Should be a fun game in Tiger Stadium.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We appreciate it. That's our Inside the Tiger Den segment. It was brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right here from Acme Oyster House. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We've got a lot more to talk about right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.